We'll go with John chapter 6 this afternoon. Oh, this is a long chapter. Please don't get worried. There's 71 minutes. I'll do it at 70 minutes. Okay? There's 71 verses, I mean. Yeah. So let us begin. We're going to read verse 5. We'll read it down to verse 12. And then we're going to read maybe one verse at the end of the chapter, verse 67. So let's read verse 5, starting at verse 5, John 6. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, which shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take in little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the man sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the man sat down, in number about 5,000. That's 5,000 men, not including women and children. So this crowd could have been up towards 20,000 people. Here we have 5,000 men sitting down. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Verse 67 now. Verse 67. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon. Lord, our flesh may be weak. Our flesh may be tired. Our flesh may be ready to go to sleep, Lord. But I pray this afternoon that you will awaken our spirit. Let our spirit be willing. Let our spirit overcome our flesh. That we want to hear from you. That we want to eat from your spiritual table this afternoon, Lord, and taste of your spiritual bread. Lord, feed us this afternoon. Let us see you more clearly, see a greater vision of you. Oh, Lord, let us see your glory. That's what we come here for, is to see your glory in a greater way. Now, Lord, bless us. We need you. We love you. We thank you. If there's someone lost, Lord, I pray this is their hour, that they get right with you, that they will repent of their ways and trust wholeheartedly in you. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Today, our message will be Love in Action. The title of our message is Love in Action. The subtitle is The True Miracle. The True Miracle. Jesus' whole life is love in action. Amen. He embodied love. He talked with love. He walked with love. He did all everything he did was love. Why? What was this love to fulfill? This love was to fulfill the spiritual need of mankind. He always, no matter what he did physically, it was always to fulfill the spiritual need of those he did it for. His goal was to fulfill the spiritual need of mankind, of the lost, of the sinner. The Bible says he came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. Here we're going to see this afternoon, Jesus fulfilling the physical need of man, 5,000 men to be accurate, to get them to understand their spiritual need. Jesus is always striving to take mankind from the physical to the spiritual. So let us look at these verses and let us pray that God will take us today from the physical to the spiritual. If you're lost today, he takes you from your lost condition to your saved condition. If you're immature today in your faith, that he will take you from the physical, fleshly faith to the spiritual, growing, maturing faith. All of us today are in, we either need to grow physically, spiritually, in maturity, or we need to be saved. We're always growing. The Christian life, once you stop growing, you are dying. The Christian life is growing. You're always growing closer. You should always be growing closer to your Savior. So let us begin. The first thing we see in these verses in chapter 6, the problem before Jesus. The problem before Jesus. Verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. Jesus saw here a multitude of people with a large problem. What was their problem? They had no food. The day was far spent. We see more of this. We get more background of this large crowd from Mark. Let me say this. This is the only miracle written about in every single gospel. Every gospel writer, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all wrote about this particular miracle. They all came and God, the Holy Spirit, brought them to write down this miracle. That speaks of this, the preeminence of this miracle, how great this miracle was. They all wrote about it. And Mark gives us a little bit more background than John does. This is the greatness of God's word. In Mark 6, if you want to turn there, you can, but keep your finger in John 6. In Mark 6, verse 34 to 36, this is what it says about the problem that was laid before Jesus. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. It was moved with compassion. That's love. Moved with love. Moved with compassion towards them. Because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The first problem Jesus saw was these sheep did not have a shepherd. They did not have a leader. They did not have a guide. They did not have a protector spiritually. So he began to teach them. When 35, verse 35, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away. They are good at saying that. The disciples are so good at sending them away. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. The disciples saw this crowd, and the disciples said, send them away. Their problem is their problem, not our problem. The world's problem is the world's problem. It's not our problem. Jesus, when he saw the crowd, he had compassion. Love filled his heart for these people. When he saw them, he wanted to take care of them. When the disciples saw them, they wanted to send them away. Oh, let us be careful, Christian. When we look at the world's problems, that we become cynical. And we say that's the world's problem, not our problem. When we become a little too American-centered in it's about me, I have problems. I can't, that's the world's problem. That's not my problem. Let us be careful that we become cold in love towards the problems that happen in the world. Jesus said, the world's problem, these man's problem, it's my problem. And guess what? It's also your problem, disciples. And that's when we see the proving of Jesus. Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, here's the proving, which shall we buy bread? Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus asked a question. Jesus, instead of saying it's not my problem, made it Philip's problem. Why point out Philip? Well, Philip is from this coast. He's from this community. He knows the outskirts. He knows the environment. He would know, hey, Philip, you know where to eat. You know where there's good food. Where can we go? Where can we get enough food for these people? You know, what's good around here? They have an icon on Facebook. You can ask for help. You know, give me a request. Tell me what's good in this community or this town. You know, you can ask every one of your friends. This is what Jesus is saying. You know this community? Where can we find food? This is Philip's home. Philip is filled with disbelief. Verse 7. He says these words. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. I don't know where he got the number, 200. Maybe that's how much Judas was holding in his pouch. Maybe it was a little less because Judas always was stealing out of the pouch. But maybe that's where the number comes from, or maybe that's a good strategic number to have when you're going to feed people. But no matter what, that's not enough. It's too many people. That's what Philip is saying. There's too many, Jesus. Even if we had 200 pounds of money, penny worth, we would not have enough bread to even give each one of them a little. Not even enough to give them crumbs. Then we see the disbelief of another. Verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Andrew begins good, right? It seemed like Andrew asked the answer. We have 2 fish, 5 barley loaves. This is a good idea, but you could tell putting your foot in your mouth runs in the family. Because Andrew keeps talking. But what are they among so many? Pretty much, Philip says, there's too many people. Andrew says, there's too little food. One says there's too many. The other one says there's too little. So he's filled with disbelief also. But what are they? You know, some people give Andrew the thumbs up here. No. He's not doing good here. He's actually just saying, Jesus, we don't have enough. Both of these men are looking at what they have or what's before them. They're both looking at the physical. Neither one of them is looking to Jesus. That's the proving here. God often puts us in situations that are too much, that are overwhelming, that makes us want to quit. But I tell you, church, we don't serve a God of the possible. We can do the possible. We serve a God of the impossible. Amen. He does the impossible. Where we see impossible, God sees possible. Amen. The proving here is that the disciples will look not to themselves, not to what they have, not to the situation, not to the circumstances, but that they would look to Jesus. Amen. Philip saw too many people. Andrew saw too little food. Jesus saw just enough. And that leads to the plan of Jesus. Verse 10. Verse 10, look at your Bibles. And Jesus said, make the man sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the man sat down in number about 5,000. This is the miraculous thing here. This gives me joy. Jesus tells the disciples, make the man sit down. He puts the disciples to work. Instead of getting mad at them for their unbelief, instead of getting upset with them because they had doubt in their hearts, he puts them to work despite their disbelief, despite their doubt, despite their weakness. Oh, that's a beautiful, beautiful, joyful moment right here, child of God. We all have doubt at times. We all struggle inside ourselves with faith. We read about the lady with great faith and we say, that's not me. But praise God, though we may be doubtful at times, though we may feel like we're inadequate, feel like there's so many things going against us, God still wants to put us to work. He puts them to work. This is Jesus' plan. Make the man sit down. Then his plan also includes he took the loaves into his hand. Verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves. This is a bad plan to the human eye. But we misunderstand this. Small is no big obstacle to God. Small does not equate a problem with God. God, this little boy's lunch is enough. Like the lady this morning, she said, your crumbs is enough. We must understand our little is enough for God to use to do great things. He takes a little boy's lunch. I mean, sardine fish. It says small fish. We go into sardine, or his daddy just had a bad fishing day. The small little boy's lunch was enough. This is a miracle. Your little is enough, child of God. Your little effort is enough. Your little faith is enough. Small faith can still take hold of a strong God. It's not the size of our faith. It's the size of our God. That's a mustard seed. Small is a mustard seed, right? That's what Jesus said. Oh, small faith, weak faith can take hold of God. This is a miracle that God still uses disciples despite their doubt. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful, beautiful moment. So the plan of Jesus is still to use his disciples, to use his little boy's lunch, and that leads to the prayer of Jesus. And when, verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, Here Jesus shows us two things. He shows us what every human should do. Pray. Depend on God. Depend on God. Then he shows us what every child of God should do. Give God thanks. We talked about it this morning. We subtract thanks from our prayer life. We look at praise as something we do when we sing openly in congregation. No, praise is a part of our prayer life.
Amen.
It's Jesus is showing what the woman did this morning, worshiped him. He's giving his father thanks. If you go through the Gospels, you will see this happen many times. Jesus would take bread and give thanks. This is his regular way of praying, his model of praying when he was going to resurrect Lazarus from the grave. This is what he said in John 11, verse 41. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Jesus didn't fret. He didn't doubt. He didn't get prideful and try to do it himself. He went to his father. That's the model here. That's what he's doing. He looked to his heavenly father and he praised his name for what he knew he would do. Jesus shows us, don't doubt. Don't worry. Give God the glory. Give him the praise. So he prays and he gives thanks. He gives thanks in his prayer. And that leads to the physical power of Jesus. The physical power of Jesus. Verse 11. Look at it with me. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Excuse me. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So out of this prayer, we see a powerful miracle. As much as they wanted, as much as these people wanted, they just kept eating until they were satisfied. They kept eating. As the disciples was going out, they reached to the basket. There was more bread there. There was more fish there. Every time they reached in, more came out. They reached in, more came out. It was an endless supply until everyone was satisfied. So some people challenge this miracle and say, you know, how could, I've heard people, unbelievers ask me, how could Jesus feed 5,000? How could he do this miracle? And I always, and as I was writing this and thinking about this, this is simple. Jesus made everything we see out of nothing. Amen. Here he uses product. His product. This is a simple miracle. This is not really just outstanding, wow, wow, wow. No, God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Here he had 2 fish and 5 loaves to work with. It's a miracle. Oh, 5,000. They all ate and they had leftovers. God is good. 5,000 plus with 2 fish and 5 loaves. He is God. Jesus is God. He's displaying for all to see. I am Elohim. I am the creator. I made you. I make everything. I can do all things. There's nothing too big for my God. There's nothing too big for our God. He's a miracle worker, church. So, after he fed the 5,000, everyone loved him. Everyone praised Jesus. All praise Jesus. It seems like every day was going good. They wanted to make him king, verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain. Himself alone. Oh, they were seeking Jesus. So then we get a halftime show. And I won't go into the halftime show because this miracle, the rest of the story to this miracle is in verse 26, 25 going forward. But verse 16 to 24, read it in your own time. Jesus walks on water. Okay? That's not a small feat. Jesus walked on water. Jesus looked at water and water blushed. He walked on water. Gravity could not take him down. And a storm came upon the disciples. There's a warning in this little verse 16 to 24. After great things in your life, storms come. Amen. Storms do come, but Jesus is there. He says, it is I, be not afraid, to his disciples in verse 20. Now let's look at the rest of the story. As the most of you young people don't know the radio host who says, here's the rest of the story. Everything seems to be going good in Jesus' ministry. But the rest of the story is in verse 26. Let's look at it. Let's do verse 25. Why did Jesus leave? I mean, they wanted to make him king. Wouldn't you want to be king? Wouldn't you want everybody to love you? Everyone loved Jesus. I mean, isn't this the point of his ministry, to become king? Let's look. Verse 25. Let's see how Jesus reacts to this. First, he goes away, and now he's going to start preaching. And that's what we're going to settle at, the preaching of Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? When did you come here? Jesus answered them, and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. First thing we see about Jesus preaching is he's very forward. He holds no punches. You are seeking me not because I'm God, not because of the miracle, but because you got filled. Right? We all filled right now, right? We're filled up with some wonderful food. They were seeking Jesus for all the wrong reasons. We live in a world that is seeking Jesus for all the wrong reasons. Those who are seeking him, the prosperity gospel, is all the wrong reasons. Jesus will make you a blessed person. He will make every day Friday. He will give you your best life now. He will make you a millionaire. Everything is going to be great. Just have a positive mindset. That's today. They're seeking Jesus for the wrong reason. That's what these people are doing. Jesus is the only preacher, was the only preacher, who made his congregation smaller with every sermon. He got 5,000 people following him. Jesus can open up a mega church right now. But instead, he opens his mouth and he preaches what people don't want to hear. Jesus would not let the crowd control him. Only truth controlled Jesus. He preached truth. He would not let the crowd tell him what to say. So they were pursuing him for every wrong reason. Everyone wanted more food. That's why they wanted to make him king. They wanted him to fill their bellies. Everyone wanted another miracle of food. They were seeking Jesus for evil, for their own self-desires. Oh, so many people today, we just want a Jesus made in our own image to give us exactly what we want, whether that's socially, whether that's politically. We are seeking a Jesus that will give us exactly what we desire. It's bad when people get there. Jesus will not be someone's breadwinner. He will not be your genie in the box, in a bottle. Jesus does not fit in our box. He is God. Amen. The holy God. The I am. Jesus will not be moved by what men want. There was a Navy captain one time. He was sailing down the sea. U.S. Navy captain. He saw a big light coming forward towards him. He told the light, he got on the bullhorn and said to the light, move 10 degrees south or we will crash. The great light came back and said, no, you move 10 degrees north or you will crash. The captain came back on and said, do you know who I am? I am the captain of the U.S. Navy. Move 10 degrees south or we will crash. The great light came back and said, no, you move 10 degrees north or you will crash. The U.S. Navy officer was truly outraged at this moment. He was ready to attack. He said, he got on the bullhorn one last time. He said, I am warning you. We will bring you down if you do not move 10 degrees south. I stand on the authority of the President of the United States. Move. The great light came back and said, no, you move or you will crash, for I am the lighthouse. Jesus will not move. Amen. The lighthouse will not move. It is set on the island. It cannot move. Jesus cannot move. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. The word of God will not change. He is God. He will not move. We must move. So Jesus is forward to these people. He is letting them know, I am not come to fill your bellies. You must seek me for the right reasons. And that leads to him preaching faith. So he preached with forwardness. Now he preaches faith. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he have sent. Amen. Jesus is simple, straightforward. We don't like this. Faith. Believe. That's it. We want to do something great. There's a king in the Old Testament. The prophet came back and said, you want to get rid of your leprosy? Go dip yourself in the lake 7 times. The king said, that's it? I want to do something great to be delivered. No, it's a simple faith. Jesus preached faith, not works. People love Islam because Islam tells them you can fast your way to heaven. Just fast and fast and fast. Celebrate Ramadan. Take a trip to Mecca and you will go to heaven. Works. People love Buddhism because if you learn great knowledge and you get to this achievement of enlightenment, just keep learning. Gnostic view of life. It's works. People love Judaism because it says, keep the law, keep the law, keep the Sabbath. Do all these things and you will go to heaven. Works. Christianity is the only religion that says you don't have to do anything but give your life to Jesus and you will go to heaven. Repent and give your life to Jesus. Jesus preached faith. Come to me. He says in verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Believe on me. Amen. Faith. Jesus was seeking here to get them out of the physical into the spiritual. Get them from striving to fill their bellies and get them to fill their souls with him. He just wanted them to put down their dinner plate. Put down your dinner plate. Just like the woman at the well put down her water pot. She's the great example of this. She went from the physical to the spiritual. She came to the well in John 4 for water, physical water. She left there spiritually satisfied with living water. She came there as an outcast. She left as a daughter of the king. Amen. She had come with physical needs. She left with spiritual satisfaction. She came questioning life. She left being a source of answers. So many people are questioning life. She came as a person who had no dealings with the Jews. She came as a practical racist. She left there loving Jews. Amen. She came as an adulteress. She left forgiven. Amen. This is the purpose of feeding 5,000. To get them out of the physical into the spiritual. To take them from eating physical bread to eating spiritual bread. That's love in action. To only feed people is not love. It's incomplete love. The government wants to fulfill the physical needs of people. They want to do for the physical. So many organizations want to do for the physical. I'm not speaking against that in any evil way. But we got more issues than the physical right now in this world. We got spiritual issues. Devil, demonic issues. And Jesus wants to solve those. Jesus has left us here as the church to go after those. Not to skip over the physical, but to go fulfill the physical need and the spiritual need. Amen. So Jesus preaches faith. Then he preaches facts. Jesus preaches facts about himself. Let me hasten here. He said in verse 38, I came down from heaven. Verse 41, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Verse 47, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. Verse 48, I am the living bread. Verse 53, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. In many words, Jesus is telling everyone, I am the source of life. Amen. I had a bird not too long ago trapped in my engine room. It was trapped. Couldn't get out. I don't know how it got in. It got in, couldn't get out. To get the bird out of my engine room, I had to shut off all the lights in the engine room. Every light had to go out. And I opened one door to get the bird out. To get out of that engine room, the bird had to go through that door. There was no other way out. If it did not go through that door, it was going to die. It was going to die. Eventually, the bird flew. After a long time, the bird flew through the door. I tell you, church, you can go out that door and you can try to go and be the captain of your life. You can go try to make your way through this life. Go work. Go believe on someone else or some other religious format. You can go try to be the healthiest person in the world. Go to the gym every day. That's religion too. You can eat grass and you can become a hugger of trees. You can do all those things in the world to become a better person. But you will not escape hell unless you go through the door. Amen. Jesus said, I am the door, not a door. Right. I am the life, not a life. Amen. I am the truth, not a truth. It's not up to you to get to heaven. You must go through the door. Jesus. That's the only one way. There's no such thing as relative truth. They're going to teach you that. There's no such thing as it, of it. There's no such thing as subjective truth. No, truth is absolute. There's one truth. That's Jesus. It's one. He will not change for these people. He said, I am. No one can save their own lives. So he preaches facts. Then he preaches follow. Lastly, he preaches follow. The 5,000 is gone at this point. They looked at Jesus as he's a cannibal. We'll read it right here. Let me read it with you. They looked at him as like, well, what is he talking about? Verse 52. The Jews therefore strolled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They looked at him with a side eye. Are you saying eat you? It's the physical. They only can hear the physical. Because Jesus says, drink of my blood, eat of my flesh. He has a point, right? He's aiming at something here. At this point, the disciples, remember Jesus had, you may not know this, but Jesus had 70 disciples. 70 disciples following him. He sent them out to do miracles in towns. After this day, he will only have 12, really 11, because one of them is the devil. Those 70 disciples, they said in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? I'll tell you this, being easily offended is not a 2020 issue, okay? People have always been easily offended. This is a hard saying. I got to preach this. This is what the disciples are saying. We got to preach this too. It was good, Jesus. It's time to go. Jesus preaches follow. He says to his disciples, he says to them, let's read verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. See, it's all spiritual. Jesus is not gone off his rocker here. He is speaking spiritually, preaching spiritually. But there are some of you that believe not. Verse 64. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Great, great Simon. He has some great moments. Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Jesus preaches follow. It was simply too hard for the masses to believe that they had to consume Jesus. It was simply too hard to believe. Then said Jesus unto his 12, will ye also go away? It was simply too hard for the 70 to believe they had to preach that. But the disciples, they followed Jesus. They followed him. If you have, I tell you right now, if you have never picked up your cross and followed Jesus, you haven't started living. Living isn't just saying I'm a Christian. Living the Christian life is not just saying I'm a Christian now. I put my faith, I made a decision to trust in Jesus. Living is following him. This is one thing we are missing in Christianity in America. We're just Christianity by title.
Amen.
Disciples follow Jesus. We're leaving the follow out of our Christianity. He calls us to follow him. Oh, don't leave here today like these 5,000 souls. You may be lost today. You came in, you heard there was going to be a good lunch today. You said, I'm here for lunch. And you came to eat. Don't leave. I pray, don't leave like these 5,000. Take hold of Jesus. He is God. Don't be offended. If you are offended, I pray that you repent for putting your feelings before God. Today we live in a world of feelings. Feelings rule our marriages. Why did I get a divorce? Because I just didn't feel like I loved her anymore. Why did I cheat? We just saw two famous actors. I just wanted to feel good. That's what one person said. Feelings. It's the God of our world right now.
Amen.
Repent. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. He is the only way to heaven. John 3:16 says it this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Follow him. Though he may offend you, there's many things, I'll be honest, many things in the Bible I don't like. I'm human. But I have to repent. And I have to trust him. And I have to say, he's God. I'm not. I didn't write this book. Man did not write this book. God wrote this book.
Amen.
He will not move. Trust in him today.